Hello and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Murat. This is our 45th study through the book of Genesis. We come today to Genesis chapter 47, verse 27. Really in the home stretch here of the book of Genesis. We may even finish today. Father, we ask that you would add your blessings to the word that we are about to read. In Jesus' name, amen. Picking up right where we left off, Genesis 47:27. So Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen. And they had possessions there, and grew and multiplied exceedingly. So even before Jacob dies, he sees great growth in his family. They are quickly becoming a nation within a nation. 28. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the length of Jacob's life was 147 years. Jacob and Joseph had been together 17 years in the Holy Land, and God gave them another 17 years in the land of Goshen. 29. When the time drew near that Israel must die, he called his son Joseph and said to him, "Now, if I have found favor in your sight, please put your hand under my thigh and deal kindly and truly with me. Please do not bury me in Egypt." Jacob did not want to be buried with those who worshipped idols. He asked Joseph to swear to take him back home and bury him there. 30. "But let me lie with my fathers. You shall carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burial place." And he said, "I will do as you have said." Then he said, "Swear to me." And he swore to him. So Israel bowed himself on the head of the bed. See, I don't get it. Why was Jacob so concerned about his dead body? What difference does it make where that thing is laying? He's going to be in paradise with Abraham, Isaac, and Rachel. Well, he was a man of faith. That is why he cared. God promised him the Holy Land as an eternal possession. He believed God. And he wants to be there on Resurrection Day. The first thing that he's going to see with his new eyes is the Holy Land. That's the way he wants it. Chapter 48. Now it came to pass, after these things, that Joseph was told, "Indeed, your father is sick." And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Joseph receives the equivalent of the dreaded phone call in the middle of the night. "Your father is failing. You better come see him." 2. And Jacob was told, "Look, your son Joseph is coming to you." And Israel strengthened himself and sat up in his bed. He is sick, he is blind, and he is 147 years old. And yet he gathers up enough strength to sit up in order to greet his son and his grandsons. Verse 3. Then Jacob said to Joseph, "God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me." No small talk from Jacob. Boy, right off the bat, he talks about his past experience with God. He recalls the time he left home running from his brother, and God appeared to him. And I'll bet you Joseph knows this story by heart. He could probably lip-sync it. Verse 3, "Then Jacob said to Joseph, 'God Almighty appeared to me in Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me, and said to me, Behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will make of you a multitude of people, and give this land to your descendants after you as an everlasting possession.'" Joseph had a good thing going down in Egypt, but Jacob reminds him that he is a part of something much better. Joseph is a part of God's chosen nation. Now, it is fine to use Egypt, but it would be wrong to become attached to it. Verse 5. "And now your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were born to you in the land of Egypt, before I came to you in Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. Your offspring, whom you beget after them, shall be yours. They will be called by the name of their brothers in their inheritance." Jacob tells Joseph that the 12 sons of Israel will include his two sons. He will grant to his two grandsons through Joseph the rights and privileges as sons. whenever the 12 tribes of Israel are named, Ephraim and Manasseh, the two sons of Joseph, will be among them. And by doing that, Jacob took the birthright away from his oldest son, Reuben, who was guilty of terrible sin, and gave it to Joseph. And along with the birthright, a double portion of the inheritance. He received that through his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Verse 7. But as for me, when I came from Paddan Aram, Rachel died beside me in the land of Canaan on the way, when there was but a little distance to go to Ephrath, and I buried her there on the way to Ephrath, that is, Benjamin. Rachel's early death prevented her from having more than two sons, and I believe that's why Jacob takes her two grandsons and treats them as sons instead. She had been gone for a long time, but you can tell that Jacob still missed her. Verse 8. Then Israel saw Joseph's sons and said, "Who are these?" And Jacob could see that there were two young men with Joseph, but because he was nearly blind, he did not recognize them. Verse 9. And Joseph said to his father, "They are my sons, whom God has given me in this place." And he said, "Please bring them to me, and I will bless them." This blessing won't just be wishing them well. As leader of the chosen family, and as a prophet of God, he will declare by the Holy Spirit the word of God concerning these two sons and their offspring as well. Verse 10, "Now the eyes of Israel were dim with age, so that he could not see. Then Joseph brought them near him, and he kissed them and embraced them." Notice how Jacob gives God credit. When we turn to verse 11, it says that Israel said to Joseph, "I had not thought to see your face, but in fact God has also shown me your offspring." God has shown me your offspring. You know, it actually turns out to be a double blessing when you praise God for his goodness to you, as Jacob did. Because by your act of giving him the praise he deserves, you are blessed again, because you are reminded that the eternal God cares about you. Your own praise reminds you of that. And so anyway, Jacob gives God the glory for his two grandsons through Joseph, and for being able to see Joseph again. He never forgot how gracious God was. 12. So Joseph brought them from beside his knees, and he bowed down with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim with his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh with his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near him. Manasseh is the oldest, so Joseph puts him by his father's right hand. The right hand was the hand of blessing. When a father passed on the major blessing to his son, he would place his right hand on him. Manasseh is the oldest, so conventional wisdom says he will get the big blessing, the right hand blessing. See what happened. Verse 14. Then Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands knowingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. Joseph thought he had the mind of God when he placed Manasseh on the right of his grandfather, but he was wrong. Sometimes well-meaning Christians think they have the mind of God. They make all sorts of plans, but the plans fall through because God has something else in mind. Walking by faith means we remain true to God during those times when our ways are not his ways. See what Joseph does. 15. And he blessed Joseph and said, "God, before whom my father Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day." It is true that Jacob was not a model of holiness for much of his life. Nevertheless, he could look back and he could say, "God led me from start to finish." You know, we suffer when we rebel, but our rebellion does not cancel God's sovereignty. It'll be a rough road, and we will feel every bump, but God's plan prevails. 16. the angel who has redeemed me from all evil. Bless the lads. Let my name be named upon them, in the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." God used an angel to bail Jacob out of trouble. That must have been a very busy angel. I say that because for the most part, Jacob's life was an unbroken series of trouble. Much of it was his own fault, too. Verse 17, "Now, when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. So he took hold of his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head." Verse 18, "And Joseph said to his father, 'Not so, my father. For this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head.'" In his heart, Joseph thought he was right, so he worked very hard for what he believed in here. It is our job to act in accordance with the wisdom and knowledge that we have until God shows us otherwise. God is showing Joseph otherwise right here, verse 19. "But his father refused and said, 'I know, my son, I know. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his descendants shall become a multitude of nations.'" Jacob did not pull this switch because he wanted to do something different. As a prophet, he was being led by God. Verse 20, "So he blessed them that day, saying, 'By you, Israel, will bless,' saying, 'May God make you as Ephraim and as Manasseh.' And thus he set Ephraim before Manasseh." 21, "Then Israel said to Joseph, 'Behold, I am dying, but God will be with you and bring you back to the land of your fathers.'" Soon Jacob and Joseph are going to be separated, this time by death. But God will be with Joseph. Relationships come and relationships go in this life, so enjoy them while you can. But don't lean too heavily on them. Lean on God, because that's one person you will never be without. 22. "Moreover, I have given to you one portion above your brothers, which I took from the hand of the Amorite with my sword and my bow." And this portion of land was the eventual burying place of Joseph. We'll stop there, and we will pick up in chapter 49, verse 1 next time for our final study in the book of Genesis. Until then, so long, everyone.